Look to the future. Pretty amazing that we planned this weeks ago and God designed it. I'd like to say we're that good, but we're not. God is that good. And He knew exactly what we would be needing to hear at this time in our lives. And so the message is, look to the future. It's a message that we hope that God will use to stir your own hearts and encourage each of you as we walk through this new series. This is 6 weeks that we'll be talking about looking to the future and what that means. And so we hope that you will be thinking in those regard as we keep moving through this. We've heard it said that God loves us and has a wonderful plan for our lives. It's easy to agree when we like the plan. But what do we do when the plan isn't what we expected? The doctor calls with bad news. I'm sorry, it's cancer and there's nothing we can do. Your wife tells you she wants a divorce after 26 years of marriage. Your boss calls you and says, we've decided to let you go. After wrecking your car, you discover that your insurance won't cover any of its expenses. Your job search has led to a dead end, and now you're out of money and out of leads. Your husband was diagnosed with Alzheimer's disease. Your supervisor called and said, we've been getting lots of complaints about your performance. If it doesn't improve, you'll be gone at the end of the month. The college of your dreams turns you down. The stock market goes south, and you've lost 60% of your retirement account. COVID-19 continues to spread, and you cry out, Lord, what's happening? I want to tell you that God has a plan no matter what happens. He's not a caught off guard. There aren't things that like he was not aware of before they came. He never says, oops. He never says, I didn't see that coming. He knows exactly what each one of us will face, and he's already there. God has demonstrated that in the past, and as we look through Scripture, we have seen God intervene time and time and time again. It happened when Moses led them out of Egypt. It happened when God sustained them for 40 years in the wilderness. It happened when they crossed the Jordan River. It happened when the walls of Jericho came tumbling down. It happened when they conquered the Promised Land. It happened when the Gideon defeated the Midianites. It happened when Samson defeated the Philistines. It happened when Elijah defeated the prophets of Baal. It happened when David defeated Goliath. It happened when Jehoshaphat defeated the Ammonites. Time and time again, God intervened just at the moment of need because he has a plan for all that is there, a future plan. Today, we're talking about predestination and the plan that God already has in place and the importance of that. It's not only something universal, but it's something personal because Scripture says, many are called, but few are chosen. Let's pray. Father, open our hearts. Help us to hear your voice this morning, not mine. We'll give you thanks in Christ's name. Amen. The fact is, God has a plan for each of us. No matter what comes into your life, no matter what is happening, you've got to remember God has a plan. He is working. He is working. Scripture says it this way, you saw me before I was born. Every day of my life was recorded in your book. Every moment was laid out before a single day had passed. I love Psalm 139. You want to be encouraged? Read Psalm 139. It's a great, great chapter. It talks time and time again about how much God loves us, how much he cares about us. It says he thinks about us continually. In fact, he said his thoughts are on us more than the grains of sand. And you think about when I'm at the beach and I look at the beach, I look at one end and I see sand as far as I can look. I look at the other end and I see sand as far as I can look. And I think, God thinks about me that much? Wow, if that doesn't make you feel significant, if that doesn't make you feel loved and cared for, he said that every one of those days before one of them came was already recorded. And so he knew every moment of your life. God not only knows us, but he plans for our future. There's a great importance of understanding how he works in all of that. The scripture says, "For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They're plans for good and not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope." A favorite verse of many people, but that's because they get encouragement from knowing that God is in control. He's the one who's working. Now, God loves you and chose you before creation. It's staggering to be able to think, staggering to think about how much he cares and how much he loves us. But scripture says it this way, even before he made the world, God loved us and chose us. See, even before he made the world, God loved us and chose us in Christ to be holy and without fault in his eyes. Powerful, powerful when we think about how much he loves us. Now, God knew you. He chose you, and he planned for your spiritual development. We see that also in Peter as he says, God the Father knew you and chose you long ago, and his Spirit has made you holy. As a result, you have obeyed him and have been cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ. What an incredible thing. We also know that God knew us in advance, planned to use everything that comes into our lives to become like Jesus. You see, that's the whole message that he's trying to give us. He's trying to help us to understand the real importance for each one of our lives is to become like Christ. And so he's working through all the circumstances that come into your lives just to help you see that, be conformed to his image. And so whatever comes, whatever is happening, whatever we're experiencing, whatever is coming to us is all for that purpose. It said God knew his people in advance, and he chose them to become like his son so that his son would be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. So we understand he knew us before creation. He knew us before creation. He chose us to become like his son. And so all the circumstances that happen in our lives are all designed and engineered to help us to become more like Jesus. What are you going through right now? What are you experiencing in your life? What is before you? Let me remind you, it's all to help us become more like Jesus. That's what he's doing. That's what he's working. Let me say, God knows. As I wrestled with the topic today, if you'll read the summary in the book on predestination, it's a great presentation. And I think it really helps us to understand how God plans ahead. But sometimes when we read that or we think about that word predestination, we think that we have no choice. Only God has a choice in all of this. It would be our understanding biblically that we would say, no, there's both of those factors that are a part. First of all, let's understand what God knows and what he is telling us. He says in Scripture, in Revelation, grace and peace to you from the one who is, who always was, and who is still to come. We sang that song just a few minutes ago in worship. Pastor Ryan, in putting that together, didn't know this was my scripture that I was using. And as I said before, we're not that good. But God is. He designs those pieces and he puts all those together. And that's why we say God is in our past, he's in our present, and our future, and he never changes. When you look at that, you can see very clearly, it's as it said, who is present, who always was past, and who is still to come future. That's the God that we serve. And so when you understand all of that, you're seeing things and seeing life from a very different perspective. Because Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Past, present, future. That's the kind of God that we serve. Now, our brains can't really comprehend that, but if we could fully comprehend God, then we probably wouldn't need him. We need somebody who we can't fully comprehend. We need somebody who understands all things, who can hear all of us praying all over the world at the same time, who knows my past, who knows my future, and is with me in the present. That's the kind of God that we serve. Now, God's time is different than our time. And that's also, see, our minds are so finite, His is infinite. And that means He can understand everything, and He can see far beyond. As we would understand, we understand Scripture, and Peter tells us, you must not forget this one thing, dear friends. A day is like 1,000 years to the Lord, and 1,000 years is like a day. So we understand, as we look at that, that God's view of timing, God's viewpoint of timing, is very different than ours. It doesn't really look the same. And so, because we understand, like, why isn't God moving on something? We're praying about it, and we're thinking, like, why isn't He answering prayer, and why isn't this happening right now? And why? Because God's understanding of timing is very different than ours. And we need to trust Him with His timing. Now, God knows everything. That's the omniscient quality of God. He knows everything. So He's knowing all of that as a part of that, and all at the same time. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God. Do you hear that? Nothing in all creation is hidden from God. Everything is naked and exposed before His eyes, and He is the one to whom we are accountable. Pretty clear, God is speaking that He knows everything. He's aware of everything that happens. He knows all that is there. Incredible power of the God that we serve. God knows every detail and every action of our lives. And so we understand that. For some of you, do not believe me, for Jesus knew from the beginning which ones didn't believe, and He knew who would betray Him. Every detail God is aware of, and every detail God is knowing, every action on our part. Now, that might be frightening in some ways, but He loves us in spite of ourselves. That's what's incredible, because although we struggle in so many ways, and He knows every detail of our minds, our thoughts, everything. He knows a thought before it comes. The Scripture says imagination of a thought. And so He knows all of that, and yet He loves us infinitely and gave His very life for us. And so when we talk about predestined, what are we talking about? What does that mean, and how does that fit together in our understanding? There are basically two different perspectives. Some see God as a monarch, and they see Him completely sovereign over everything. Others see God as a parent, and they see Him as a loving parent, and He wants to work lovingly in our lives. So there's really two different perspectives. As we put those together, we understand this. The plan of salvation in Jesus was predestined before the world began. It wasn't an afterthought. Adam didn't sin, and God didn't say, we need to come up with another plan. We didn't expect that. Oh, no. Before, God already knew that that was a part of that. It was the precious blood of Christ, the sinless, spotless Lamb of God. God chose Him as your ransom long before the world began. So we understand that Christ was planned to give His life for us as a ransom before creation ever happened. It said, but now in these last days, He has been revealed for your sake. And so we get to see this. Through Christ, you have come to trust in God, and you have placed your faith and hope in God because He is raised Christ from the dead and gave Him great glory. So we are privileged to live at this time. We are so privileged to be able to not only know that He planned far in advance before the world began, but that we are privileged to see that be revealed in Christ. Now, the plan was for each one of us from the very beginning. The plan was for each one of us. You see, God chose you before the beginning of the world. He chose you before creation. What an incredible privilege. Scripture says, and for us, we can't help but thank God for you, dear brothers and sisters loved by the Lord. We are always thankful that God chose you to be among the first to experience salvation, a salvation that came through the Spirit who makes you holy and through your belief in the truth. And so we understand that He chose us for salvation. Now, the plan was for each of us personally, starting with the Jews. And so if you look at Old Testament, they talk about the Jewish nation as being God's first choice. We know also that as we see Peter was an apostle to the Jews and Paul was an apostle to the Gentiles, we know that because the Jews rejected Christ, then Jesus made it possible that we as Gentiles could come into that as well, and the message would be given to us. Here's what Scripture tells us about this, and this is the plan. At the right time, He will bring everything together under the authority of Christ, and everything in heaven and on earth. Furthermore, because we are united with Christ, we have received an inheritance from God, for He chose us in advance, and He makes everything work out according to His plan. God's purpose was that we Jews, who were the first to trust Christ, would bring praise and glory to God. And so we understand how the message of salvation comes. And once again, He says He chose us to come and experience that. Now, the plan was for each of us, and God is the one who draws us to Himself. I think that's such an important message for us to understand and to be able to see. You see, every one of us are in a relationship, come into a relationship with Christ, but how do we come into that relationship? One, He chose us, and two, He draws us into that relationship. Scripture says it this way, you didn't choose me, I chose you, because He made the first effort. He made the first response to choose us. And then He says, I appointed you to go and produce lasting fruit, so that the Father will give you whatever you ask for using my name. And so there's a great importance of understanding that in that relationship with Christ, He says, I chose you. So He chose us first to come into that relationship. He draws us into that relationship. The Scripture says, for no one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws them to me. And so that's the Spirit of God drawing us into that relationship. And at the last day, I will raise them up. And so if you're feeling in your life, wow, there's an emptiness, there's something that's missing, there's something that I need to experience, that is God's Spirit drawing you into a relationship with Him. And that's exactly what He wants to do. That's how He wants to work in each one of our lives. So God's foreknowledge and free will. So let me say there's a balance between the sovereignty of God, God's plan, His predestined plan, His choosing you, and then the free will that is available for us. In our perspective, we would believe biblically both of those exist. If we only believed in free will, there might be the mistaken thought that we could earn our way to salvation. We could be saved by our good works, by us doing all of that. But in the balance of both the sovereignty of God, knowing that He chooses us, knowing that we have a free will to respond to that, that's where the two meet together and we come into that relationship with Him. He chooses us. Will you choose Him? That's where we believe that the Scriptures come together and help us to understand that concept. God created things which had free will. That means which can go wrong or right. Some people think they can imagine a creature which was free but had no possibility of going wrong. But I can't. C.S. Lewis is talking here. If a thing is free to be good, it's also free to be bad. And a free will is what has made evil possible. Why, then, did God give them free will? Because free will, though it makes evil possible, is the only thing that makes possible any love or goodness or joy worth having. A world of automata, of creatures that work like machines, would hardly be worth creating. The happiness which God designs for his higher creatures is the happiness of being freely, voluntarily united to him and to each other in an ecstasy of love and delight, compared with which the most rapturous love between a man and a woman on this earth is mere milk and water. And for that, they've got to be free. Of course, God knew what would happen if they used their freedom the wrong way. Apparently, he thought it worth the risk. If God thinks this state of war in the universe a price worth paying for free will, that is, for making a real world in which creatures can do real good or harm, and something of real importance can happen, instead of a toy world which only moves when he pulls the strings, then we may take it if it is worth paying. C.S. Lewis in The Case for Christianity. Pretty powerful statement. And realistically, that's how we balance the sovereignty of God, the predestined plan of God, and yet the personal free will that each of us has to be able to make a choice. And so as we see that, C.S. Lewis also says, there are only two kinds of people in the end. Those who say to God, thy will be done, and those to whom God says, in the end, thy will be done. All that are in hell choose it. Without that self-choice, there could be no hell. No soul that seriously and constantly desires joy will ever miss it. Those who seek, find. Those who knock, it is opened. Pretty powerful thoughts as we try to put together our understanding of predestination and foreknowledge. God knows ahead, but he's not specifically planning each life to make that happen. He has a plan. The plan of salvation is predestined before the world began. He planned to draw you and to choose you into that relationship before the world began. But how will you respond to it? When we try to put all that together, we understand that even what's happening in our world today, that he has a plan and a purpose of how he's working. Now, from the beginning, God gave man the choice. As we look at Scripture, we would see it this way. Then God said, let us, as in the plurality of God, let us make human beings in our image to be like us. They will reign over other scripture that is there of all the world. And so God created human beings in his own image. To understand that, we have to understand if we are created in the image of God, he's created us with a choice. And he's given us that choice. You choose today what you will do. You choose how you will respond to the offer that's given to us in salvation. You choose what will happen in your day and how you will go about that. Well, God offers each of us a choice with consequences. And so the choice is before us. Now listen, he says, today I'm giving you a choice between life and death, between prosperity and disaster, for I command you this day to love the Lord your God and to keep his commands, decrees, and regulations by walking in his ways. If you do this, you will live and multiply, and the Lord your God will bless you and the land you are about to enter and occupy. But if your heart turns away and you refuse to listen, then I warn you now that you will certainly be destroyed. You will not live a long, good life. Today, I have given you the choice between life and death, between blessings and curses. Now I call on heaven and earth to witness the choice you make. Oh, that you would choose life so that you and your descendants might live. Over and over from Old Testament and Deuteronomy, God helps us to understand that he gives a choice to you. Yes, he's sovereign. Yes, he has a plan. Yes, it's all there. But he's still giving the choice to you to say, what will you choose and how will you respond? God offers the choice to each one of us. If you refuse to serve the Lord, then choose today whom you will serve. Yeah, that's the kind of message that he has for us. He wants us to understand that you have that choice. You can respond. Now, God is waiting for our response to him. incredible to think that the God of the universe, who knows every intimate detail, is actually giving you the opportunity to make a choice to respond to him. He says, look, I stand at the door and knock. If you hear my voice and open the door, who has the responsibility to open the door? You do. You open the door. He's not going to force his way into you. He could, but he chooses not to. He could have power to just make you, but he chooses not to. He chose to give you a free will. And in so doing, he says, if you open the door, I will come in and we'll share a meal together as friends. Jesus says, as we look in John 15, he says, I call you friends. That's the kind of relationship that Jesus wants to have with each one of us. He said, God gives us the choice to follow him by believing. So we get the choice to follow him simply by trusting and believing in him. Scripture says it this way, but all who believed in him and accepted him, he gave the right to become children of God. Yeah, that's the fact. If you choose to believe in him and accept him into your life, he gives us the right to become children of God. You see, God wants everyone to come to salvation. That's the message of hope that we have. No matter what we face, we don't have to live in fear or panic. We can live in peace and trust, because that's what he's promised to us. He's promised to give that to each one of us. But we can't have it without receiving him into our life. That's the message that is there. Who wants everyone to be saved and to understand the truth. That's God wants everyone. He chose the plan for everyone, but you personally have to make that choice to respond. God doesn't want anyone to be lost. And that's why it's such an important thing. He gave his very son that we could be saved. He wants everyone to come into that relationship with him and to know him as a personal savior. The Lord isn't really being slow about his promise, as some people think. No, he's being patient for your sake. He's being patient for your sake. He does not want anyone to be destroyed, but wants everyone to repent. Repent means I was headed in one way, and now I've turned, and I'm going to head in a new way. That's the message of hope that God has. That's the message of salvation that he brings. So what will you do as a response? The scripture says we can trust him with your life. That's the very first thing. You can trust him with your life. In a very simple way, in a very simple format, you can say yes, and you can fully surrender to him. That's the message of hope that he wants for each one of us. You can trust him with your resources. Whatever you have, you can say, Lord, it's yours. I want to give it to you. I want to trust you with it. I know that you're going to care for me. I know you're going to provide all that I need, because he wants to be your provider. You can trust him with your future. I know in the time that we're living in, the circumstances that seem to be around us, it seems a bit surreal. It seems just a little strange. And yet, we try to do what we can. We went for groceries last night, and I heard them over the intercom in the grocery store say, social distancing, please stay 6 feet away from every customer. Then I saw a big sign that was there that said the same message. And I thought, it's just different. It's strange. As I walked down the aisle, I saw people kind of like moving to the side to make sure we didn't come close. And I thought, I'll be socially responsible. I did what I was responsible to do and was careful and followed all the guidelines. But ultimately, my trust has to be in God. Ultimately, I have to know he knows my future. He has my days numbered. He knows everything about me. And because of that, he's recorded of every one of my days in his book. And so, can I trust him with my future? You bet I can trust him with my future. I can trust him with everything about my life. I know that he's in control. And when your life is in his hands, he will care for you. I've just got to hold on to that. And I've got to know that, because throughout history, he has shown that time and time and time again. We can look at it over and over. And what do we understand? He cares that much for us. And so my life is in his hands. I trust him with all that is a part of my life and my provision and my care and everything that is there. You see, man's emergency is not God's urgency. He already planned for this, and he's got you. I love the scripture. It says, I am your God and will take care of you until you're old and your hair is gray. I made you and will care for you. I will give you help and rescue. Yes, yes, no matter what. I want to give you an opportunity to make a decision. If you've never surrendered your heart to Christ, if you've never said, I want to serve Jesus, I want to trust him with my life and with all that I have, I want to give you that opportunity. It's a simple act of faith. Jesus says, if we become like little children, we'll never enter the kingdom of heaven. This is so simple, a child can do it. And that is by faith, trusting Jesus to come into your heart and giving him control of everything. Trusting him day by day, not in your own resources or your own protection or anything else. Not that we don't do that, but I do that and trust him because he's got my life in his hands. And he cares for everything about me. If you would like to do that today, there's a link that is right there that you can check. I want to give my life to Christ. I want to understand that. It's right there on the online. You can do that. In fact, someone can pray with you as a result of our clicking on that. There are those in our team who are available and will do that. But if that's your decision today, let me pray with you a simple prayer that just invites Christ to come into your life. If you'd pray this in your heart along with me, dear Lord Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. I believe that you died for me. I want to turn from my sins and invite you into my life. I want to give you control of my life. I want to trust you for every day. I want to trust you for my future and for all that you have. Thank you for writing my name in the book of life. Thank you for the hope of eternal salvation. Thank you for choosing me. In Jesus' name, amen. If you offered that prayer in faith, trusting God to come into your life, you're born again. That's the good news of the gospel. The fact is that you have given your life and surrendered to him is just a beginning. You need to make sure that you pray daily, because that's how you speak to God. You need to read your Bible, start in the New Testament, maybe John, the Gospel of John. Read your Bible daily. That's how God speaks to you. Share it with somebody else. Let us know. We'd love to rejoice along with you, because that's an important, and live like Jesus in your world. That's the good news that God brings to every one of us. Hey, you can look to the future, for God is already there. Thank you for joining us. May God bless you and go with you.